am strong. I am joy-filled. I have great peace. I am, oh God, your child. I have a destiny. I have a future. All my needs are met in Christ Jesus. I am the redeemed. So I will declare and I will say so, Father. And right now, Lord, I pray for the person whose hand I hold this morning, that their life, oh God, would be stirred up. Father God, let them not be on the fringe. Let them not be lagging behind. Let not them be captivated by the world in any way, fashion, form. Father, we come against the past. We come against failure. We come against, oh God, those disobedient times where the enemy is causing condemnation or guilt in their life. I just pray for them now to be lifted, that the peace of God would pass all their understanding, and that they would recognize that they are forgiven. They are a child of God, and they walk in the full covenant right of a child of God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, that everything about them is blessed. I thank you, Lord, when they woke up this morning, they were blessed. When they walk along the way, when they lie down tonight, they're going to be blessed. And so, Father, I speak life into them. Come on, speak life into them right now. I speak life into them in every way. I rebuke darkness. I rebuke evil. I rebuke decline. I rebuke loss. And I speak increase. I speak life and joy and peace and happiness. And I thank you, Lord, that your glory, oh God, is covering us now. Now with me, would you just worship Jesus again? Father, we lift our hearts to you. We bow before you. We lift our hands to you. And we say, God, there's nobody like you. And we bow before you today. And we expect, oh God, revelation knowledge to come forth. We expect, oh God, the miraculous to manifest. We expect, oh God, salvation to be witnessed in this room today. We expect, oh God, healings to manifest, signs and wonders, prophetic utterances, oh God. We thank you that this is a supernatural place with a supernatural God that is able to go above and beyond all we could ever think or ever we could ask. And we'll give you all the glory and thanksgiving. Come on, one more time, give Jesus a big praise. Come on, he's worthy of all of our praise. Yeah! Woo-hoo. Yeah! Yeah! He's a big God! Amen? He's a big God! Woo! Find two or three people and say, he's a big God! Oh, you didn't do it. Come on, you didn't do it. He's a big God, Rich. Come on, find somebody. He's a big God. Come on. Yeah, he is. Okay, before you're seated, you told him he's a big God. Now tell him this. He's bigger than any problem you'll ever have. Come on. He's bigger than that financial problem. He's bigger. He's bigger. He's bigger. Amen. Woo! You can be seated. Welcome, everybody. I'm so delighted that you're here today. Oh, man, I got to tell you, I've been so excited to get here. Woo! And guess what? I get to come back again tonight at 7 o'clock. Now, last week, out of nowhere, Leon Timbo showed up in Lorain and took us into worship for about an hour and 20 minutes in the presence of God, and it was glorious. I called him this morning and said, are you coming? He said, I don't know. I said, well, I don't know either. I can't announce that he's going to be here. I don't know. But I do know Jesus is going to be here. And we want to invite you to come back tonight, 7 o'clock, our third in the series of four September to Remember evening services. I know that that's unusual for church to have service in the evening. We used to have them all the time. But we're returning. That's what the yellow ribbon's all about. Tie that yellow ribbon around the old oak tree if you still want me. We need to tell Jesus we still want him, right? So tonight we'll be ministering on a title of a message that I'm excited about called Lost in the House. And so it's a powerful word. I think you're really going to enjoy it. But before I get there, I've got to tell you, I don't know if you're getting the word yet or not, but our phone has been ringing off the hook. And you know what they're asking about? Heaven's gates and hell's flames. Yes, they are. As a matter of fact, We have had calls. People want to know if they can bring bus groups in. And is there a reduction in price for a group? And I said, yeah, for you, it's free. Actually, it's free for everybody, right? But it's exciting that the encouragement is there, the interest is there. And I, Gary, Patty, all I can say, thank you from the bottom of my heart. I mean, great, great folks, business people, own Northern Ohio Printing, and printed up, listen to this, a few tickets for us to pass out. Now, a ticket is pretty cool because you can say, look, I got this ticket for you, and I want you to be my guest. Well, it's free, but they don't have to know that. But on the ticket is a beautiful depiction of light and dark, heaven or hell. And the beauty about it is, from what I understand, one of the graphics artists, Gary was telling me yesterday, used to work for Disney. So, you know, we do stuff first class around here. I just want you to know that. So, okay, we got a few tickets. How many can you take? Let's see. We got 8,000 tickets. So take a few hundred. But if you're going to take tickets, I better not find them in the back seat of your car on the floorboard. You got to pass them out to your friends and invite them, even your enemies. I know you got some. Invite them too. Invite your neighbors, your coworkers. We've got some posters that are available. And the ushers are going to have those. Did you find them yet, ushers? You know where they're at? I put them in the bookstore right back here on the shelf. So somebody go get them. Open that big box up and get ready to pass them out to all the people. And start giving them out to all your friends and family. How many believe with me we'll see hundreds born again? I believe it. We're going to see hundreds born again. Oh, man. I can hardly wait. I want to be in the play. I want to be somebody that dies and goes to heaven. I don't want to go to the other place. But anyway, we want you to be a part of that. That's October when? 16th. Oh, look at here. 16th, 17th, and 18th. And we need some actors, some young people as well. Staging, technical, hospitality. Plenty of needs for this thing. This is a place where you can get plugged in and really start serving God in a big way in you and your family. It is. You should do that. You know? Okay. So that's coming up October 16th, 17th, and 18th. And I'm excited about it. Also, I've got to tell you next Wednesday, or this Wednesday, are you ready for John Melende? The great awakening in America that is happening all over the nations? Well, we're going to be one of the host churches for the simulcast right here. So our regularly scheduled Wednesday night service is being handed over to Pastor Tossie and their team. And they're going to be handling it. Now, you can expect to be here from 7 till about 10. Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. Oh, my goodness, church tonight. Boy, that's a lot of tonights, isn't it? And then Saturday from 10 to about 12:30. And I'll guarantee you, your life will never be the same. All right? So I just want you to be prepared for that coming up. And then one last thing I got to tell you about. Jesus did not suggest we ought to share our faith. He commanded it. That's right. And unfortunately and sadly, many Christians don't even know how to share Christ. The ABCs of the gospel: acknowledge Christ, believe, and confess. I mean, it's pretty simple. But we have a wonderful program of the evangelism arm of our ministry in one of our gates of the elders. And it's called Evangelism Explosion. Right, Ann? And it's powerful. And you can come and be taught technique developed by Dr. James Kennedy. And this Evangelism Explosion manual is powerful. It'll show how you can win souls for Christ in very, very simple ways, conversational ways. And is that going to be this Saturday from 1 to 4? Is that correct? In Lorraine, Saturday 1 to 4, and then back over here, back and forth. Okay, so we want you to get plugged in. Check out the Coastal View. Read that thing. That's what we print it for. It's good information in there, okay? Hallelujah. How many believe that God is up to something in your life? Can I see your hand? Okay, good, good. You really believe that? Okay. How many can say with a hand upraised that you are different now than you were 10 years ago? Okay, everybody went, yeah, that's right. You got that right. Okay. Good, good, good. That's a good thing. How many can say, I am different than I was 10 minutes ago? Okay, there's a few more, a lot less hands. You know, how many know from glory to glory, he's changing us? Things are changing, man. I just want you to know that. And let me tell you, too, Pastor Tossie, I feel like a lot of people, because they failed, because they've been disobedient, because they messed up, they sinned, goofed up, that when they come to church, they feel condemned and guilty. And you went to Jesus and asked him to forgive you. So you're walking around going, well, you know, I kind of messed up and I really can't, you know, be too excited about God, because the devil whispers in your ear and says, you are condemned, you are guilty, you should feel bad because you're not a good Christian. You know, the next time the devil tells you that, don't flip him off, but you do need to tell him, you know, like that. I didn't mean anything else. I just flick him off. Don't do that, but you need to tell him, in the name of Jesus, yeah, I have confessed my sin, and Jesus Christ is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins. And guess what? I am cleansed of all unrighteousness, so I command you now, devil, get thee behind me. I rebuke you. And then here's how you really proclaim your freedom in Jesus. Because I see this so many times. People don't come to worship. They get in the worship service and they feel burdened down by their failures because they didn't do things right this week. And they're kind of like half-masked worship. Once you confess that, then you got to get bold in Jesus and you got to get up there and go, hey, devil, watch this. Woo-hoo! That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, I'm going to go crazy for God in worship. And if he whispers in my ear one more time, I'm going to get crazier. You try to condemn me one more time, I'm going to shout louder. You go ahead and try to remind me of my past one more time, and I'm going to point to your future. Do you understand me, devil? I am not going to sit here and come under the heavy, heavy condemnation of my past. Look at somebody and say, your past is past. Now watch this. Tell them, so get past it. Come on now. We got a bright future in Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know what I drink in the water from Lorraine to here, but when I get here, I am like stupid crazy for Jesus. I can't help it. Somebody is spiking my water. I don't know what y'all putting in there, but woo-wee, it's good. It's good. I love that song when you guys were singing when we came in, Heaven on Earth. Isn't that good? Ooh, we just want to see heaven on earth. We want to see God be God. I want to pray a special prayer for those that are really up against the wall this morning. You know, in the middle of all the delight and the excitement, sometimes you come into church and you really feel like, look, you know what? We're in trouble. I need help. Something is occurring and we need to see Jesus get real big in our family and in our life. And I don't want to minimize the fact that that could be the case for some people today. So before we do anything else, would it be okay that we pray for you? I really want to do that. And so here's what I'm going to ask you to do. And sometimes it's a little difficult, but you're just standing by faith. You say, look, I've got a need in my family. Like a family came to me this morning. She was a young lady that graduated from our high school, our Christian high school. She now lives out somewhere in Denver, I think, Oklahoma. She's been missing for almost 2 days. The last time they heard from her was her cell phone at 1:30 in the morning from a deserted rural area. The family's besides themselves. Her name is Tasha. And we said, no, in Jesus' name. We call out the name of Jesus for the name of Tasha. And we stand in faith, believing. That family came to church today. Yeah, they believed he was. Yeah, they believed that Jesus is coming again. But you know what? Their heart was heavy. Their heart was broken. And they needed Christian brothers and sisters to stand with them and agree in Jesus' name for the victory. So maybe you're here that way. I don't know. But you know what? We're not going to let you sit there and be in pain all by yourself. We're going to stand alongside of you and help carry that burden. So if you're here today and you've got something going on and you say, what? You know what? I need prayer. Pastor, we need prayer in our family. We need prayer for this situation, whatever it is. Would you do me a favor? Would you just stand right where you are? Thank you. Amen. Amen. Just stand right where you are. Amen. Now, the rest of us that are sitting, I want you to look around. These represent memorials for God. These represent opportunities for Jesus. This represents what the devil is trying to do. But you know what? The devil meant it for evil, and God is going to turn it for good. Now, here's what I'm going to ask you to do in a minute. I'm going to ask you, those of you who are sitting, to go pray with those that are standing. But look, don't go there just because I'm asking you to do it. Go there with some kick the devil down faith. Because these people are desperate. We need help. You know, if it was your daughter missing and all of your thoughts go through your mind, like, where is she? And from a rural area, her cell phone went off and now they can't find her. They're crying out to God, right? So I want you to come up with some faith and begin to look at somebody right now. Get your eyes beaded on them. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you right now. And then I want you to go to them and put your hand on their shoulder and begin to pray the prayer of faith with them. Go ahead and do that, would you? Come on, look around. Find somebody, then go to them. And I know it's going to get mixed up here real quick, but that's all right. You know who they are. Go to them. Say, excuse me, I got to get through this aisle. I've got to get to this need. Maybe you need to share that need for a minute. But I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, God is able. God is in this house. God is understanding. God knows. God sees. God hears. God is aware of every circumstance in our life. Come on, begin to lift up your voice. Let's begin to pray. Let's begin to call on the name of God. That we know that our God is able. That there is nothing too difficult for Him. That if God be for you, who can be against you? That He is that hedge about us. That He is the glory in the midst. That we, O God, when we call, You will answer. And that Your arm is not so short that it will not save. And that it will not deliver. So, Father, right now, we're not going to stand and do nothing. We're going to do what we know to do. And that is where two or three agree, touching anything, we know it shall be done. So we call these families to You. We call these people to You. We call these individuals to You. And we say, God, it may be the midnight hour. It may be the dark time. It may be a negative moment. But God, we know that there's a third day resurrection power that is made available to us. And while the enemy might be gloating, while demons might be celebrating, we know, Father, that we're on our way to the third day. And we're about to see the same power, the same Spirit that raised Christ up from the dead. And it will, O God, quicken our mortal bodies. So we stand in faith believing, God, that You will do what You said You will do. And I cry out, God, on behalf of those that are hurting and suffering and pained. And those that, O God, are feeling oppressed and depressed and suppressed. God, we know that You are a God that is a glory and the lifter of our head. So, Father, now lift, lift, God, lift. Lift the head of those that are cast down. Strengthen the frame of those that have become weak, O God. And perform miraculous things only that You can do and nobody else can do. Because there ain't nobody like Jesus. Hallelujah. And we stand in faith, agreeing, touching, and calling upon the name that is above every name. And at that name, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. So poverty, You've got to bow. Sickness, You've got to bow. Family trouble, You've got to bow. Marriage trouble, You've got to bow. Oh God, weakness, You've got to bow. Lack, You've got to bow. Every knee has to bow. And we confess that Jesus is Lord over this circumstance and over this situation in Jesus' name. And all God's people shouted, amen. Come on, amen. Amen and amen. I believe it. Whew. Take that, devil. You could be seated when you're done praying. Oh, man, I just sensed a real release there. I sensed a real quickening and a release. And so, hey, look, bring somebody with you tonight. I'll guarantee you, you won't be disappointed. The Holy Ghost will be here. A powerful word is going to come forward, not because I'm going to preach it, but because God gave it. And I know when God gives a word, it's beyond my ability to receive it. And I got a word tonight with beyond my ability and my intellect to understand it, know it, or receive it. It was supernaturally imparted and downloaded into my heart, and I'm expecting to release it and download it into yours by the Spirit of God. And it's all God. It ain't nothing to do with us. So if you want to get charged, if you want to see yourself changed, challenged, renewed, and return to God in a new dimension, in a new way, glory to God. Come on back out at 7 o'clock. Hey, got a Bible this morning? Amen. Psalm 46 and verse 10. Psalm 46 and verse 10. How many know what Psalm 46 verse 10 is? Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. We're putting it up on the screen and I want everybody to declare it. I want us to read it together because this is a powerful word. Come on, discharge it into the atmosphere. Are you ready? Come on, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. That was pretty good. I was feeling it. I was feeling the vibe. Come on, we got to do it again, though. Are you ready? Come on. Be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Do you know when that was written? It is so awesome. That was written by a king who was under pressure, who was about to be attacked and destroyed in all estimation and opinions of everybody involved. They were against the Assyrian army. They were awesome. They had a reputation of annihilation. They were about to just storm through all of Israel and crush them. But Hezekiah began to pray. Hezekiah began to pray and God responded. And this is Hezekiah's writing of how God responded. God told Hezekiah, be still. But this is the good part. And know. Everybody say no. In other words, in your understanding, grasp hold of this intellectually. You've got to come to the realization. You've got to have this knowledge. Knowledge of what? That I am That I am God. Now just go to the title of my message and put it up there. I want you to get this in your spirit. We're going to come back to Psalm 46 and 10. But this is my title. I God. Not iPad, not iPhone. I God. It comes from a compound Greek word. It's basically echo eime. And I'm not probably saying that right, but I'm doing my best, okay? Echo eime. It means I am God. And I like that because as we approach this message today, we've got to declare that God is God and I am not. So God was basically saying, I God, you not. Okay, so now don't hit anybody in the jaw next to you when you do this. Because sometimes I'm a bit animated when I preach. But, you know, come on with me. Are you ready? I God. Okay, we're going to try it again. Ready? Ready, go. I God, I not. Yeah, he is. And then because of that, if you go back to Psalm 46, you're going to see a powerful understanding in there. He said, because I am, because echo a me, because I am the creator of heaven and earth, because I am God, I will. Because he is, he will. Notice this, I will be exalted in the earth. Can I tell you the only way God can be exalted in the earth is through you? And through me, and through our church, and through our children, and because he is, he will. So don't you get downcast and get in the mully grubs. God's about to turn some stuff around because he's still God, and we're not. Now the interesting word in that, which I overlooked on purpose, is be still. Now, this generation has a hard time to do that. We have to get up. We have to get down. We're like in 10-minute blocks of time. Psychologists are telling us now that the brain or thought patterns of this generation is being altered. Neurological pathways are being segregated. And they're having a hard time to reflect, to meditate, and to think long. They have to think in 10-minute increments. It's a strategy of the enemy because we know the Bible says to meditate both day and night. Muse upon the word of God and think deeply and allow God to give you revelation of what he's trying to say. So we have to resist that. But notice what he said, be still. The word be still there is a simple word. It simply means this, get limp. Have you ever been under pressure, stress, trial to the point where it totally exasperated you? You didn't have hardly any energy to stand up. You just fell in a heap. I've witnessed this a number of times when people go through tragedies. They go through trials, sometimes the death of a loved one. I've seen it many times as we close the casket for the last time. And a heartbroken mother or grandmother stands there by their little loved one, their granddaughter, their grandson, their daughter, their son. And as that lid is closed and as they're singing, just as I am, Mama can't help it anymore. Grandma can't stand on her feet. She falls in a heap. She becomes limp. Well, why would we want to become limp? Why would God tell us to become limp? God, don't you want us to stand up in faith? Don't you want us to believe? Don't you want us to speak the word? That's not what he's saying. Go back to the scripture. He said, I want you to be still. In other words, I want you to get limp in your understanding or your ability. I want you to become weak basically still means be weak. Don't be strong in yourself. Don't get overly confident in what you can do about this. I want you to become totally dependent upon me. I want your hands to hang down. I want you to become limp totally in all of your strategy and all of your plans and all of your thinking, and know that I am God. In the face of adversity, be still because of what you know about God. It is God's past that gives me hope for my future. Let me say that again. It's God's past, what he has done, who he is, what he has done in the lives of others that give me hope for my future, because I know that he's the same. Come on with me. Yesterday, come on. Yesterday, today, and forever. They ought to write that in the Bible. That's a good verse. I think I'll have it inserted. Well, it is in the Bible. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is God. He is I am. In the New Testament Greek, eko eme. Now, why is that important for us to grasp this morning? Because only at the I am revelation do we see the release of power, force, and might of his presence. This world today is strategizing and redefining who Jesus is. He's not the door, he's a door. He's not the God, he's a God. And the reason for that is to minimize the revelation of who he really is. Let me declare to you, Jesus is God. Now it's interesting because 20 years ago when we planted shrubbery in the Lorraine church and put in Jesus is Lord, it caused no small stir. I probably could have said Jesus is whatever. But when I said Yahweh, when I said God, I separated every other proclaiming entity, every other self-proclaimed deity, and said, you're not. He is. Because when you come to that revelation, things change in your life. Now, in the late 1800s, this is not a history lesson, but let me just go back with you. Why we can open up a gallon of milk today and drink it without fear of being sick or poisoned. Louis Pasteur, what a great name. Not the Pasteur part, Louis part. He discovered something. He discovered small, microscopic organisms. Huh? Microbes. He discovered microbes. Things that you could not see that affected things that you could see. And so he proclaimed and said, listen, there's things in your milk. There's stuff in your food. You know, like the recall on turkey. They say there's something in it. Oh, there ain't nothing in that turkey. I don't see nothing. Go ahead and eat it. Because if you ingest what you can't see, it'll affect what you can see. Well, they didn't quite understand that, and they argued with him. It was sort of like when the discovery that the earth, is not flat. Everybody believed it was flat. And if you sailed far enough, off the edge you'd go. And you couldn't convince them. Until finally the exploration of the truth became a reality in the life of those who were persuaded. Who came back, and it changed the way they lived their life. They sailed to the east and came back on the west. Whew! It must be round. So it is with the revelation of Echo M.A. The church today needs a revelation that Jesus is not just a prophet. He's not just a teacher. He's not just a miracle worker. Come on, somebody. He's bigger than that. He's more than that. He's God. And if he is God, then if I've got Jesus, I've got all that I need. Come on, lift up your hand. And thank God that you got all that you need. Listen, Psalm 46 said, be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted. If you've got God, let me tell you, God is about to exalt himself in your situation. That's the only way he can get out is through you and me, and he wants out. But it comes on the heels of the revelation of who he is. He is God. This is a generation that needs to know that. That needs to get in touch with that. To need to hear that. That's why Jesus was asking his disciples. And Caesarea Philippi. there at the huge rock of where they had sacrificed to the god Baal. I stood in that place, the very place Matthew 16 records, where he had his disciples together. And he said, "Who do men say that I am?" And his disciples began to respond. They were ringing out all of the evaluations and opinions and perspectives of people who were so educated. They certainly had thought they knew who he was. Some say you're Jeremiah. And Jesus just stared them down. Obviously, it was wrong answer. Cowardly, he stepped back and said, "Gee, I guess that was the wrong answer." Some say you're Isaiah. Some say you're a prophet. Some say this, some say that. And then Jesus looked square in their face and said, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter, getting a revelation from heaven, stepped forward and said, "Thou art the Christ. You're the Son of the living God." In other words, you're Echo M.A. You are God who was in the beginning. You were before the beginning. You created the beginning. And he began to declare to Peter, "Flesh and blood hadn't revealed this to you, Peter, but my Father which is in heaven." And upon this revelation, upon this understanding that there are microbes inside things you can't see, that if you treat it and you understand it and apply it, it'll affect the way you live your life that you can see. Can I tell you, we're living beneath our covenant right? Because I think most of the church isn't really persuaded that Jesus is God. If he is God and you've got God living inside of you, he said, "I am and I will." Look, ladies and gentlemen, I may be going through adversity, but adversity has got to move out of the way. I may be going through lack, but lack can't stand up to God who said, "I will be exalted in the earth." Listen, I may be depressed today. I may have a blue day, a bad day. I may be having a struggle, but wait a minute. I God, I not. So therefore, things are subject to change. What I can see is going to change because of what I know. Are you persuaded yet? Do you really know that he is God? In the book of John, I love the book of John. John, can I have your name? I want your name. I'm going to be called John now. John Caton. I want to be John. John Caton and John Craker. We're two buds hanging out. I just want to be called John. Why? Because John was a man who revealed Jesus as God. If you read through the book of John, it's all about his divinity. Seven times in the book of John, John records by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit who Jesus is. John records these words. He says, "I am," echo M-A, "the bread from heaven." Now think about it with me. Jesus is declaring, echo M-A, God, the bread from heaven. Not the crumbs of this world. Not the stale bread of religious teaching. I am echo M-A from heaven. Wow, what a revelation. Wait a minute, there's more. I am the door, not a door. Some of us come to church and go, let's see, door number one, door number two, door number three. Maybe Muhammad will do this for me. Maybe Jesus will do this for me. Maybe, no, wait a minute. There's only one door. He is the door. There is no other door. He's not one among many. It's not confusing. It's Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He is God. And when you begin to think about it, it's unthinkable. It's unfathomable. It's incomprehensible. How can we declare he's anything less? If you've got God living in your heart, the God that spoke the worlds into existence, and is like, "I got God." So you understand the revelation when he said, "I am the door." But he didn't stop there. He said this in the book of John, "I am the shepherd, not a hired hand." He said, "I'm the resurrection, not your undertaker. I am the way, not just a sign that points. I am the way. I am the true vine. Echo Ame, the way. Echo Ame, the vine. Echo Ame, the light. Echo Ame." He said, "I am from heaven. Therefore, I will be exalted in the earth." His claim to deity is the same word in Exodus chapter 3:14. You remember that story? Huh? How many remember Exodus 3:14? God said, "Moses, I want you to go deliver the people. Go to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go." Moses said, "Okay, I'm going to go do that, but excuse me, who do I tell him sent me?" And he said to Moses, "Just tell him this, echo Ame. Tell him I am who I am." And thus you shall say to the children of Israel, Echo Ame, I am, has sent me to you. I want them to get an understanding that this is nothing like anything they've experienced before. That's why we've got to shed all of our previous traditional religious ideologies and philosophies and vain teachings of men and babblings and arguments and opinions and carnal expressions. When you come to the house of God, wait a minute, I got to wade through all of that, and I got to get to the fact that it's Echo Ame, it's God all by himself, I God. And if he's God, he will exalt himself in this earth. And so he told Moses, I want you to let him know that I am. And it's the same understanding of Isaiah 43. If you look at Isaiah 43 and verse 10, he said, you are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that, here it is again, Echo Ame, I am. And before there was no God formed, before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. Real faith is which comes to a real Jesus, who is the only God. Let me tell you something. You begin to talk like this at your workplace, you think people don't like you now? If you've been pressured to be politically correct and embrace others' perspectives about how to get to heaven, you know what we have done? We have raised up modern, postmodern churches that have changed the menus to attract the clients. Because when they come to the house of God, they don't want to be so narrow-minded that Jesus is God and there is none other. So we want to put something in the menu to satisfy the appetites of identifying with a carnal world who thinks they're God. Listen, there's a separation in the earth today, and you're going to have to make that choice. You're going to have to step through the veil. You're going to have to decide. You're going to have to declare, is he God? And if he is God, then he will exalt himself in my life. There are no other options for me. I have seen him as God. Thou art the Christ, and there is none other. It will alter the way you do church. It'll alter the way you do marriage. It'll alter the way you raise children. It will alter the way you live life. When you know that he is and you're not. And that we understand that a generation today is looking for clarity. They're looking for definition. They don't want compromise. They really don't want to embrace everybody's philosophy. They want to know what the truth is. And the truth is that he is God. Go to John chapter 8, verse 24, please. Jesus is saying this, and it's quite a revelation. He says this, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am he. Listen, you will die in your sin, sir. Please, listen. Young person, listen to me. I might not be the greatest preacher, but I'm going to tell you something that will change your destiny. Jesus said you will die in your sins if you don't believe Echo Ame. If you don't get the revelation that I'm God, you will die in your sins. Jesus was pretty matter of fact about this. That's how it's defined in the Greek. That's how it's defined for you and me to understand. We've got to come to know God. Be still, be limp, be weak in yourself, and know. Come to the revelation and the understanding that he is God. Some call him a God. But you know, if you call him a God, it's insufficient for the forgiveness of your sin. A God will not cleanse you of your sin. He said that in John 8, 34. He said, unless you believe that Echo of me, I am God, you cannot be cleansed of your sin. So if you say, well, he is a God, you will die in your sin. Some believe he's a prophet. No, that's insufficient for forgiveness of sins. Some say he's a miracle worker. Yes, he was, but that's not who he is. He was God who did miracles on the earth. He's not a miracle worker. He wasn't a good teacher. He wasn't a great compassionate person. He wasn't one of the many teachers religiously on the earth today. Where have we become so tolerant
to such heresy, an erroneous belief and teaching? How has it crept into the teachings of the church? Where we want to become politically correct and not offend people. Well, I'm sorry. I don't mean to offend you or run you off, but let me tell you something. We believe at Go In May, Jesus is God, and there is none other. Jesus was having dialogue, you know. He was talking about, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. And they were freaking out. I mean, everybody's like, what? Drink his blood? No way. Eat his flesh? You got to be kidding me. He said, many didn't follow him from that day. It was really a tough teaching. If you go to John chapter 6, well, 7 and 8, Jesus is really confronting the ideologies and the thinking of this generation. And he's dialoguing with the Pharisees, and he says this in verse 58 of John 8. He said, Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, echo eme. Now, I want you to get the picture of this, because they're talking about who is God. Jesus is standing right before them. They have a history of serving God and the faith that came from Abraham. And they're saying, well, we have Abraham. And God says, that's cool, but you know what? Unless you have echo eme, ain't going to help you. Well, look. Jesus said, the most surely I say to you, before Abraham was, I am, or echo eme. In other words, I was before Abraham even came to the earth. Matter of fact, I created Abraham. Now, they would have been much more appeased if they would have just said, if Jesus would have said, I was born before Abraham. Now, that would have made illogical sense, because they would think, you're only 30 years old. Matter of fact, they said that. How can you say you were before Abraham? You're only 30 years old. It's because they were operating without revelation of who he was. And there's confusion in the camp. There's redefinitions. There's misunderstandings. There's misapplication in the kingdom today. Because there's no revelation of him being God. And he tells us, I am, echo eme. And notice what they did next in verse 59. Because I think this is so cool. I love this about Jesus. And they took up stones to throw at him. Think about it. They took up stones. Yay! Yay! Yay, they found Tasha. Yay! Yay! Right there. They found her. They found Tasha. I'm assuming she's okay. Okay. Sorry about that. So they pick up stones. He's saying, echo eme. And they go, and they pick up stones and they're going to throw it at him to kill him. And Jesus said, well, time to me to go. See ya. And walks through the midst of them. Look at, what's this say? He went out of the temple, going through the midst of them. He didn't run from them. I got to get out of here. They're about to kill me. Hide me. Whoa. Excuse me, got to go. He didn't do that. They were all gathered with their stones aiming at him. He said, excuse me. Excuse me. Excuse me. Yeah, I'm right here. Can't touch this. No way. I got you. I'm leaving because I'm echo eme. Echo eme right here. I got, you're not. See ya. I'm leaving. And out he went from the temple and so passed by. Can I give you a suggestion? That when the devil picks up a stone of sickness, picks up a stone of threat of a death of a daughter that can miss him for 2 days. Don't know this. I don't know this. I don't know all the particulars, but all I know this is they were thinking the worst. You got to pick up that revelation that he God. I got a God. My God is able. And yet, no matter how much the devil is going to release his arsenal against me, I've got to walk in through the midst of it and get out and pass by on the other side. Because what the devil meant for evil, turn it, God. Turn it for good. Turn it for good. And sometimes it doesn't work out like we think it's going to work out. No, my wallet's not full today. But you know what? Echo and May anyway. Yeah, I had to have the surgery. Echo and May anyway. I'm passing through. Even if this body goes to the grave. Echo and May. Because even though he's dead, yet shall he live. Come on, absent from the body is present with the Lord. Echo M.A. Devil, you are defeated. Death, where is thy victory? Oh, grave, where is thy sting? Echo M.A. I think about all the saints, the beloved mothers and fathers and sons and daughters who passed through the portal of death when death was gripping them and staring them down. They said, echo and they, and death's grip had to let go. And they walked right through the very bowels of hell, the very bowels of the grips of the demons who were desiring to cast them in and send them to eternal damnation. And because they said, I got echo and they could not touch them. And even though they passed through the portal of death, they went into the life eternal with God. Don't you be discouraged today. God is able to deliver you and bring you into a glorious future, but you got to get a revelation of him being Echo M.A. Come on with me. I God. Come on with me. I God. I not. Oh, I don't want to hurt nobody, but oh, I God. I not. All right, one more scripture. Can you handle one more? I know we have church tonight, and I don't want to wear you out. But go to John 18. Can I do one more? I'm going to do it anyway, so it doesn't matter. I know. Okay, come on, John chapter 18. I love this chapter. Verse 4 to 6. Now, let me set the setting for you. Let me get the script right. Was the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus had just prayed, went a little further. Disciples falling asleep all around him. Angels came from heaven and ministered strength to him. He declared, not my will, but thine be done. Now he's standing there. Here comes nearly as many as 600 trained killing soldiers. They were Roman soldiers. They could decapitate you with one swing. They could fillet you with their dagger. They were trained militia. They were battle tested and worn. Think with me the sights and the sounds of that night with torches lit, with armament clanging, with the war cry of 600 trained killers coming into the garden. A force that no natural man can contend with. That's what it's like sometime when you get the phone call. That's what it's like sometime when you look at the bottom line and there's more month than there is your money. That's what it's like. It's that intimidating force that comes against you and it surrounds you. And now here's what happens in verse 4. Jesus, knowing all things that would come upon him, he went forward to them. He went directly to them. Listen, you've got to face your enemy. You've got to stare down that intimidation. You've got to look at poverty in the eye and ask them, who are you seeking? Because if you're coming for me, no, you're not coming for me. What you're coming for is what's in me. And let me just get you a secret right now before you get battered and bruised. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in you. So if you want to fight, come on. Oh, that's what Jesus was saying. Well, he said, well, that's not in the Bible. Well, it's in my Bible, all right? Say with me, whom are you seeking? And look how they answered. Verse 5. Come on, read it with me. They answered. Who do they say they're seeking?
Jesus of
Nazareth. All right, stop right there. That's been the problem of the church. Jesus of Nazareth. You know, there were a lot of guys named Jesus in Bible times. And there were a lot of people from Nazareth. It didn't separate anything. What was, and I asked the question, what was that release of power and force in this moment? How was it released against such a formidable power and intimidating force? Think with me now. We're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said to them, Jesus said to the force that tried to come and conquer, echo M.A. I don't even think he shouted it. Echo M.A. No, I don't think. I just said, echo M.A. And then what happened? And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Go to the next verse. And when he said to them, echo M.A., they drew back and fell to the ground. Now, this is cool. The word drew back and fell to the ground is really powerful. They struggled. They stumbled. They staggered. They fell backwards hard and smacked the ground. And all he had to say was, echo M.A. Take the picture of the effeminate Jesus off your wall. Throw it away. Out of your mind. Little baby Jesus born in Bethlehem. We have so pictured Jesus as a religious icon of our social significance and our good works that we ascribe to, and we have thrown him into the category of every other religious ideology in this world. And our young people are being seduced by that thought. God's looking for a young generation to say, echo M.A. He is God. And when he released that revelation, power that came against him fell backwards. He demonstrated the power of that revelation. It's the same power that Jesus showed Peter when he said, and upon this revelation, the very gates of hell, the very enemies of God will not prevail against the church. It's that revelation. My question is, did you come to church today to worship God, or did you come to worship a God? No, he is God. And I've come to declare that he is so. And upon that revelation and my release of it in the earth, the same force and the same power that was manifested in the garden when the attempt of this world was to arrest, stymie, capture, lock up, do away with, eliminate the very power of God. They came to annihilate Jesus. But when he released the declaration of who he was, they had to fall back, fall hard, stumble and struggle, and fell down on the ground, flat on their backs. That, my friend, is the revelation that's needed today. Dovetailing on this truth, we'll discover tonight that you could be in the house and still lost. I ask the question here as we conclude this meeting today. Is there something you're not seeing that is impacting what you are seeing? Is there something that you haven't experienced that is impacting negatively that which you are experiencing. Maybe, just maybe, we haven't got a revelation of who quite Jesus really is. And if he is God, then that's the end of the argument. There are no other opinions. There are no more perspectives. I'm not even debating you. You're ignorant and you're wrong because he is God. In the face of every darkness and every trial, of every temptation, of every sorrow, of every loss, you must declare, echo me. I want to pray for you today. God, please give us souls. Please give us a generation that believe you're God, not just a good teacher, not just a miracle worker. Give us people today, Father, who are willing to cross the line, step out and be counted, tired of blending in, wanting to be a difference maker. Give us young people, God, who grab hold of this truth and knowing now who you are will impact the way they live. With every head bowed, let me ask this question. Do you know him as God? Have you received him as God who created heaven and earth? Who in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was in the Greek means continually past, meaning this, the same. The beauty about that simply says this, God loves you. And it doesn't matter what you've done, he's continually the same. He loves you. You can't talk him out of it. You can't be disobedient enough. You can't be rebellious enough. You can't be mean enough. You can't disappoint him enough for him to change. He's God and he loves you. And he's waiting on you like the father of the prodigal to come home. I'm asking today, who in this house will rise and declare that he is my God? If you today would stand and say, preacher, I want God in my life. I want Jesus Christ. He is the Son of the living God. And I receive him now as my Savior. Pray for me because I want to live for him. In a minute, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand in acknowledgement of that truth. Not to me, but to God. And I'm going to count to three. And it's a simple thing. I count to three and you raise your hand if you want to do that. You want that prayer. Are you ready? One, two, three. Get it up high as you can if that's you. That's good. Now, if you got your hand up, I want you to stand up. Come on. Don't be ashamed. Stand up. Come on. Stand up. Stand up. And I want you to come down here and shake my hand. Come on. Come on. Shake my hand. Come on. I don't have cooties. Come on. Shake my hand. God bless you. God bless you. Stay right here with me. Come on. Shake my hand. Come on. Shake it. Shake my hand. Shake my hand. Let me tell you something. God has a great plan for your life. Now just stay here. Don't run away. Hold on. Anybody else, you'll say, Pastor, I need that as well. That's me. I'm going to have everybody stand in a moment. And don't get nervous. And please, no one leaving. Give me just five more minutes. Please don't do that. Stand up doesn't mean you can go now. Okay? Ready? But it is a way of helping people make a move. Pray with me. Ready? Let's all stand. And if you want to join us, these three, come on, do it right now. Do it right now. Because God has got a revelation for you that will literally change your life. Something you did not know, that when you know will change everything about your life. Are you ready? Look over at somebody and say, do you need that prayer, honey? And then bring them down. Come on, look at somebody. Say, do you need that prayer? Do you need that prayer? I'll go with you and bring them to the front. Altar ministers, can we have a man come with this young man? A couple of ladies come with these two ladies here. They want to pray for you. They want to pray for you. That's all they're going to do. Come on. Just pray with them. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, shout hallelujah. He's worthy of our praise. Come on, hallelujah. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? We're going to do the I God thing. You ready? All right, don't hurt nobody. Ready? Put your fists together on your chest. I God, I not. I'm telling you, you get that revelation in you, and it doesn't matter what comes against you. Doesn't matter what comes against you. For I am persuaded that nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Amen? Because He is God all by Himself. Thank you for coming, sweetheart. Here's another one that needs a bit of prayer. Have another lady, please. There we go. There we go. Now, before we go any further, I have to receive an offering. You say, Pastor, why do we take offerings in church? Because President Obama doesn't write me any checks. Governor Kasich doesn't write me any checks. The mayor of Valley View doesn't even know I'm here. You and I are covenanted together to make this ministry strong in Jesus' name. What is a tithe? It's 10% of your gross income. I give that to the Lord, and my life has never been the same since. If you're not a tither, become one. And declare that I believe God can do more with my 90 than I could ever do with my 100%. On Monday nights, Dave Ramsey, Peace University, is meeting at 7 o'clock right here. If you're in debt, you're under the financial gun, come on out. Get changed, get saved. But if you're making a check today, make it out to CNC. And we're going to give on the way out tonight. Today, is that okay? Would that be all right with you guys? Okay. So ushers, would you get a bunch of bags ready and take them out there and by the doors? But ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. T and I are so grateful for your generosity. And we know that we're going somewhere with the God that we're serving. God is taking us into another level. Amen? I believe that with all my heart. So I want you to be back tonight if you can. If you can't, check out on the internet. We're going to be live on the internet. Or you can get a CD later. I understand people's schedules. But if you want to come and be a part of it, 7 o'clock, we'll be back. Now, my wife and I are going to slip out. So don't think I don't love you and want to hug your neck and all that. But we got to go and then turn around and come back. And we got one other thing to do before we do that tonight. So we got limited time. So don't take it personal. But live right. Say it with me. Live right. Live right. Love everybody. Love everybody. That includes that person, you know. That person there. And pray hard. We'll see you tonight at 7 or Wednesday for the John Melende simulcast. God bless you. Love you. And there's nothing you can do about it. Say that.